you know, since I'm the official spokesman for Generation X, I sometimes, like, you know, I always say I miss the 90s, but, you know, sometimes I actually miss the 80s. Actually, more than sometimes. Things are a little nicer and simpler and more fun, you know, it seems like back then. But what was up with some of those fashions? Like, I had two older sisters growing up. What the hell was with the jelly shoes? Man, I'm glad that fad didn't last very long. If you don't know what jelly shoes are, which I'm sure, like, most of this audience has no damn idea what I'm talking about, go Google it. Do a Google search on it. These things, like clear plastic shoes that people wear around that are real flexible. Man, some people just have feet you don't want to look at. So, let's get rid of that jelly shoes memory. Trapper Keepers are kind of cool. I don't know why the hell those things went out of fad, you know. That's a great way to take your shit to school, you know, and keep your stuff together. I do remember one thing. I was kind of cheesy about it, though. Remember the parachute pants? If you're part of Generation X, you remember those parachute pants when you were a kid? Yeah, I had a real problem with those, though. They're kind of trendy, kind of cool. I was a skinny little runt, though. Remember one time a good gust of wind come blew, and, man, they didn't find me for 3 weeks. Anyway, welcome to the Gonzo Chronicles. Although it was very popular, I will refrain from fat jokes or your mom jokes this week. We'll get back to it some other time. All right. Thanks again, my pals from Blues Hammer out in Virginia Beach in Norfolk. They give me some bumper music. You know, it'd be great if you could use, like, whatever song you wanted to. Like, you could have a different song for every show, you know, based on the theme of whatever the show is. But I hear tell people will sue the shit out of you if you do that. Doesn't sound very cool to me. What happened to all those cool guys from the 80s that if I could use some of their music for bumper music? I mean, they let these cheesy commercials use them. I mean, hell, fire. What's wrong with a poor guy with a podcast using your song? I don't know, man. Lawyers. Speaking of lawyers, yeah, I'm working on Gonzo Chronicles. The Gonzo Chronicles of Barry Dick, Supernatural Sleuth, Book 3. Yeah, you wait till you come across a lawyer in this book. If you thought the guy in the second book was funny. All right, hey, listen, I've been diving into some local history lately. I've been a real nerd. And we're going to talk some horror on the show. We'll get to that in a minute. But let's jump into this book that I often kind of quote on here. Stupid History by Leland Gregory. So I just opened it up randomly this morning as I come through here, staggering through here, you know. And looking for a soda, like a caffeine fix first thing in the morning. So I just opened this up randomly, and here's a page called Drats Fooled Again. They're foiled again. Since they first appeared in the 1860s, cigarettes have caused a lot of harm. But one good thing has come out of the manufacturing of cigarettes, and that's aluminum foil. I had no idea until I read this today. Richard S. Reynolds, the nephew of tobacco king R.J. Reynolds, was looking for a new way to protect cigarettes from moisture and to replace the tin lead wrappers in use at that time. In the 1920s, the price of aluminum dropped, and it clearly became the answer he was looking for. In addition to the price, aluminum was shinier and more appealing to consumers. Two decades later, Reynolds' company, Reynolds Metals, introduced the world to the lightweight, non-corrosive foil. Reynolds Wrap. And where would we be without it? That's a good point. Where the hell would we be without it? Because, quite honestly, if you're a guy and you like to grill out in the summer or the fall or the winter, like me, yeah, you kind of... Tinfoil comes in handy. I had no idea it was actually born from the industry of cigarettes, but hey, so be it. I'll take it. It's helped me keep crap in the fridge fresh for an extra day or two. Yeah, jelly shoes. Yeah, I have two older sisters. I remember going through all those fads in the 80s with them. The shoulder pads they'd wear in their shirts and jackets. All that damn hairspray. I mean, there was enough hairspray flying through my house. Like, I'm surprised flies did not get stuck in midair. I'm not kidding. Not kidding. One time I let my sister, Tammy, cut my hair. She just wanted to practice and do this stuff. And, of course, I was, you know, a nice enough kid or dumb enough kid. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. So she gave me this Billy Idol haircut. Now, back then, it was kind of cool. But, yeah, if you try that stuff today, man, you might get your ass kicked going out in public. I don't know. But then again, I see people with blue and purple hair every time I go to the grocery. So what difference does it make? I guess who cares anymore, right? But it's Halloween month, everybody. So let's get into some Halloween topics. Actually, we've had some of this on here this month already. Just question for you. What Halloween movie? What not Halloween movies per se, but what horror films are you watching? I mean, we've got all kinds of stuff on Netflix, and of course Hulu, Amazon Prime. I guess you got that. You can watch. There's all kinds of these pay services now, but I still like really love the old classics. I don't know about you, but I've been so far this year. I've watched The Fog, which is awesome. Love The Fog, the one from 1980. Or is it 81? The one Jamie Lee Curtis, yeah, the original one. They did a remake of it with this actress named Maggie Grace, which you probably know from that movie Taken. But she was in it. That was a really good movie. It's a good remake, but yeah, it is what it is. But I like the original better. This morning, actually, I got up and Eli Roth's A History of Horror was on. I want to say they're AMC or Sci-Fi, one of those two channels. So I watched that the episode about the vampires through movie history. That's interesting. Until you get to the Twilight shit. I'm totally not counting that as vampire films. Like, kids today, man. Well, this is not even kids today. Kids from 10 years ago that love those films. Listen, if you want to see a teen film that's fun, that's vampire, just, again, I hate to harp back on the 80s, but go watch The Lost Boys, for God's sake. That is a rock and roll vampire film. Don't bring this candy ass. I don't know. If my niece hears this, she'll probably punch me for like getting all over Twilight. She loved it. That's okay. Like I said, it is what it is. But I'm going to ask you guys, what is your favorite movies, horror films that deal specifically with haunted houses? That's kind of unique. It's like we're narrowing it down into a subgenre of a genre. But actually, I have 10 amazing movies. If you haven't seen them, you have to see them. You should go watch them. And it's all about haunted houses. Well, to a degree. Most of them. And this, I probably should have put down some honorable mentions, but I just did 10 here. I was doing some research on that. And then the top 10 haunted cities in America. And so I don't know how Gettysburg doesn't land on the number one spot on all those lists, but it didn't. Excuse me while I take an infusion of caffeine. But yeah, what makes your list? Let me know. Jump over on Facebook or Twitter and let me know. Or drop me an email at cyrus.alderwood@gmail.com. And we'll talk about some of your movies. Some of your favorite horror flicks, or what doesn't make this list that I forgot. But I want to come in that like at number 10 is a movie that I guarantee probably most people that's listening to this haven't seen. You remember that era from the 60s, the late 60s, the mid 70s, where they had those creepy satanic, like Catholic-based films. I mean, things like The Exorcist, The Omen. Remember those? The Omen, and then Damien, Omen 2. Rosemary's Baby, that's a good example. This movie called The Sentinel fits right, comfortably, snugly, right in there with these types of films. And if you thought The Exorcist was scary, and if you really got creeped out watching Rosemary's Baby, which I still do to this day, The Sentinel is a must-watch movie. You very rarely ever see it on TV or on any channel, really. So it's something you may have to just go find for yourself to watch. Or maybe try one of those download free movie services like Tubi or something. You might find it on there. I don't know. But go look for it. It's called The Sentinel. And this is a creepy movie. Allison Parker is the character in this. She's out kind of looking for her independence, you know, in the world, and she moves into this apartment building. And then at some point she comes in and out, you know, living her life, she starts meeting some of the neighbors. And there's all kinds of weird stuff going on in The Sentinel. Now, I'm not going to spoil it for you. I don't want to spoil it. I kind of want to, but I'm not going to, because this movie still creeps me out. But, you know, she meets these neighbors, but then comes to find out from her real estate agent later on in the movie that she doesn't have any neighbors. She's the only one that lives there. This building is haunted. So it's so, yeah. And just the era that it was filmed in, the type of film where it kind of reminds you of that Rosemary's Baby, Exorcist type of setting, you know, it's, you know, just, I don't know, to me, it creeped the hell out of me. The Sentinel. Go watch that if you haven't seen it. Coming in also on this list, I had Legend of Hell House. And people tried to remake this movie over and over in a way. I think The Haunting a few years ago, that had Liam Neeson in it and a couple other big-name actors and actresses. It was kind of based off of Legend of Hell House. But the Hell House is actually called the Bolesko House. And it was formerly owned by this rich serial killer. This is a classic haunted house, haunted mansion film. There's no special effects in this, but the atmosphere is so dark, you can't help but feel it. So if you haven't seen Legend of Hell House with Roddy McDowall, I think is one of the main actor in it, definitely go check that out. That is... Yeah, every time that movie's on, that's one of those guilty pleasure horror films. If that's on, I don't care what else is on, I'm going to watch that movie. Another one that comes in on the top 10, I had Amityville Horror. Now, I know it's kind of like, isn't that kind of like a possessed house? Well, maybe. But nonetheless, it was haunted as hell. And it was really kind of, you know, the ghosts in there, the diabolical entities were attacking the characters. This is a classic horror film. Probably everybody has seen it or seen the remake with Ryan Reynolds, which was actually a really decent remake. I'm not one for remakes, as you know, but that was a really good movie. So they had a lot of spinoffs on the Amityville stuff, too. I think somebody tried to make one just a few years ago, maybe like 2016, 2017, another Amityville movie. I don't know, but I haven't seen it, but I see it's on from time to time. I just haven't bothered to stop and watch it, because once you watch the original, man, how does anything else kind of compare, you know? Another one I had coming in on the top 10, at number 6, actually, was The Conjuring. Now, this is the one it's in the series of those that were based on that, their name escapes, you know, the famous married couple investigators. From New England, they actually were the people who investigated the Amityville House. But The Conjuring, they also had several other movies, The Conjuring 2, The Nun. So The Conjuring was really the first one out of that series. And it was a, you know, haunted house, but there was actually demonic entities living in there. So it was kind of a possession movie, kind of like, in a way, like The Exorcist, but like half haunted house, half exorcist. So it was... Yeah, that movie's still intense, too. I'm not sure if I liked it or not, but it's one of those train wrecks. as a horror film, I'm not going to stop watching. Here's a very oldie but goodie, right? This one is a slow film, but really, really powerful. I had coming in at number five was The Changeling. This movie had George C. Scott, who was a just amazing actor in and of himself. Has been in all kinds of things. Patton, you probably know him from. But George C. Scott, powerful actor, he really made this movie because, like I said, it was a very slow film, but it was really powerful. In this movie, he's a composer named John Russell. And he has lost his wife and child. And he's trying to get back on track with getting back to work and composing. And he rents this historic Victorian mansion. Here's the creepy thing about it, though. This thing is haunted. And I'm not going to spoil the movie because it is kind of a slow movie. But it's one of those that it's a slow haunt, and you really need to watch it. It's such a classic film. And as you watch it, you can see how other horror movies were really, after that, were really kind of inspired, I think, to some degree by this. And maybe we'll do another discussion on that movie another day. But I'll never look at a red ball the same again after seeing that movie. If you don't get the red ball reference, watch the movie. You'll get it. Coming in at number five, actually, I had The Poltergeist. And you think, well, isn't that like a possessed house too? Well, yeah, but a poltergeist is really just a nice way of, it's a German word for angry ghost. And, you know, considering they built the house on a ancient Indian burial ground and everything goes squirrely wrong in this house, I'm sure this is another film everybody's seen. And some of these I have going forward, probably everybody has seen anyway. Also had on this list The Shining. Classic Jack Nicholson horror film. This was a really, really powerful film based off of a Stephen King book. And the book is really good. The movie I thought was great. They actually did a remake of the movie that was more in line with the book. But this was back in the 90s, I think they remade this. And yeah, I think it had some box office success. Maybe it wasn't box office. Maybe they released it for TV. Because it had a couple of well-known actors from this sitcom, actually, in the 90s called Wings. One of the guys that was in it. But it was a good movie. But I really harken back to the Jack Nicholson version from the 70s. Or was it 1980 this came out? I don't remember. But about the Overlook Hotel. Creepy stuff. And just to toss this out there, if you haven't seen the follow-up movie, Stephen King wrote a book as a sequel to The Shining, but it was many, many years later. Actually, this was, I don't know, it was maybe after 2008, 2010, somewhere. Wrote a book called Dr. Sleep. And about 2-3 years ago, they actually made Dr. Sleep into a movie with Ewan McGregor. And that was an amazing movie. Really, really good. It kept fairly close to the book. I was really impressed with how well the movie came out because I wasn't sure the characters, the actors would be able to play some of the characters of this group called the True Knot. So if you haven't seen Dr. Sleep, go watch The Shining, rent Dr. Sleep, and enjoy it. Dr. Sleep's been on HBO a lot lately, so I've managed to watch it probably 2 or 3 more times. I don't know, it's just one of those movies that didn't really get old. You know, you didn't get tired of it after the first couple. You could watch it a few times before you getting bored of it. Now, the next one coming in on this list is Sinister. This was a really, really interesting movie that had Ethan Hawke in it a few years back. It's about the Oswald family. Now, Ellison is the main character, played by Ethan Hawke. He's a crime writer. And he moves his family into a home where grisly murders are actually committed because he's trying to find, you know, he's writing a book on what happened there. And he'd had some success writing true crime before. And so that's kind of how he makes his living. And they're kind of, you know, running out of money. So he's trying to have his next big break, right? So he wants to do this. So he moves his family into the home where it happens without them knowing that they've moved into a home where this murder happened. The interesting thing is that he finds some video footage in the attic of the actual murder that the police never found. So he tries to uncover the pieces himself without letting the police know he found this evidence. It's really, really, it was a creepy film. So if you haven't seen Sinister, put that on your list here. We've got 1 week left of Halloween. Today's the 24th. So a week from today is Halloween. The Haunting of Hill House. I had to put that on there. This is a relatively new one from last year. This is on Netflix. And it's a one season, so it's a 10-part series. And it was kind of slow too, but it's one of those where you're in the here and now, and then you go back in time to when they were kids, and then you're back in the present, and then you're back in time. And I'm not going to tell you how this thing ends. I was completely glued to this series when this came out. When I figured out what the haunting actually was, what was going on, what was doing the haunting, great new take on, new to me, that I hadn't really read anything about or read anything like that. What a great series. There's a follow-up to it now on Netflix. It's not the same story, but something similar. It's called The Haunting of Bly Mansion, or Bly Manor. I'm about 3 or 4 episodes in that. That's kind of a slow go, too. Haunting of the Hill House actually is a little faster paced, I guess, getting into the creepy stuff than Haunting of Bly Manor. But Bly Manor, I'm kind of enjoying. You know, if I get some time, I'm not going to binge watch it because it's kind of, like I said, a slow go. But it's getting better, and I'm kind of liking that now. What I had coming in at number one is not really, I wouldn't say really terrifying or scary much. But as far as a haunted house story, The Others. And I'm trying to think of the actress's name that was in that. She was in Eyes Wide Shut. She was in all kinds of different things. But anyway, that was such a good movie that really got back to the gothic roots of horror. And it certainly had that feel that, you know, just the way it was filmed in and of itself was very dark and kind of sinister in a way. I mean, you just felt that gothic horror from the outset of the film before it even got into anything scary. Which will bring me to another movie that, if you haven't seen, just because of the way it was filmed, I brought this up previously on a podcast when I was talking to Rob Mahoney, who's a big horror fanatic. We were talking about top 10 horror films, and one of the films that I'm drawing a blank on the name of it, but it was a film that was set in Germany about an American actress, or not an American actress, an American dancer who went over there to learn ballet, and so she was at this, you know, the school, Suspiria. That's the name of it. Just the colors themselves in that movie and the scoring, the music. Ugh. I mean, to this day, it's almost like hearing Tubular Bells and thinking of The Exorcist. Even though if you'd never seen The Exorcist, Tubular Bells is quite soothing. But you watch that movie and you hear Tubular Bells, that music, it's like, oh, man, you know, shivers, you know, up your spine. Creepy stuff. Very creepy stuff. But those are my top 10 movies about haunted houses or haunted locations. So I would toss this out here. What makes your list? What'd I forget? I'm sure I'm forgetting probably a zillion movies that are just as good. But maybe some resonate with you a little bit more. Top 10 haunted cities. Let me toss these out here real quick because I've been doing some reading. I just got a book in the mail that I bought off of YouTube, or not YouTube, Amazon. About haunted Key West, or not Key West, haunted North Carolina, like coastal area through there, the North Carolina coast. Because there have been, like, when I say there are shipwrecks out there, I mean there are thousands of shipwrecks out there. So you can imagine just the ghosts that are of that area, going back to pre-colonial days. But a lot of, you know, a lot of places have stories to tell and long histories. And on these, I found these cities consistently on paranormal sites had listed as the top 10 most haunted cities in America. Portland, Oregon. I'm not quite sure why. I really need to do some research on each one of these and maybe break down one city and talk about it on a podcast. But Portland, Oregon, San Francisco, California, Chicago, Charleston, South Carolina, St. Augustine, Florida. Again, I'm not sure why there. San Antonio, Texas. New Orleans, I get. Salem, Massachusetts, I get. Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and Savannah, Georgia, I get. But some of the others, it's like, well, why would that be one of the most haunted cities? Key West, Florida was another place that was that was listed. It was actually an entire book written by a guy named David Sloan. And that's on my list of books yet to read. So anyway, it's like I said, we're a week away from Halloween. What's on your watch list? What's on your reading list? Anybody ever read Summer of Night? Are you reading some horror this week? If you're listening to the podcast and you want to read some horror, sometimes I'll toss some of my books out there for consideration. I have two short story compilations on Amazon. One is called Bedtime Stories for the Terminally Afraid, and the other compilation is called Dark Places. So I do have some horror that's out there. Grave Legends is also out there. I'm working on the rewrite of Grave Legends book 2. Hopefully that'll be out. I wanted it out by Halloween. That's not going to happen. This year got crazy, as everyone knows. So I'm behind schedule on things, and it'll get out when it's ready to get out. Let's just put it that way. But I'm also working on the next Gonzo Chronicles, which is what the show's named after. So if you have an opportunity, jump on Amazon and just search Cyrus Alderwood, or go to my website, cyrusalderwood.com, and there's a section there about books. Just click on whichever one you want to check out. It'll take you right over to Amazon to read a little bit about it. But I certainly appreciate everybody tuning in to another episode of the Gonzo Chronicles. And hopefully this is, if you have, like I said before, if you have any topics you want us to talk about or any books or movies you want to bring up, by all means, drop me an email, cyrus.alderwood@gmail.com. Thanks again, and I will see you soon. So we're going to go out with a little bit more of these guys, Blues Hammer.